Okay, let's begin Parshas Mishpatim. The Eilach HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lufneyam is a vart that's said over by different people say the same idea. Why in the Torah, right after Matan Torah, the first thing after Matan Torah that we were taught were the laws of Mishpat. The Eilach HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lufneyam, and Ruba, most of the laws over here in this Parsha are laws of Choshen Mishpat. Shulchan Aruch, there are four parts. Or Chaim, Even though Ezra Hashem Mishpat, what I leave out? Yerodeah, of course. I know Yerodeah. My smicha. Yerodeah, Hashem Mishpat, Even though Ezra. Most of the laws that are taught right after Matan Torah, the Eilach HaMishpat, the laws of Hashem Mishpat. So the question is, why is it that we have Yosef Kairo when he arranged Shulchan Aruch with the Tor? Why is the Tor arranged? The order the Shulchan Aruch is arranged. The first thing is Orachayim. Why don't we begin with the laws of Choshen Mishpat? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem taught Klal Yisrael the laws of Choshen Mishpat before He taught them the laws of the Moadim, before the laws of Yerodeah, before the laws of Evno Ezer, why are we start with Orachayim? So it's very similar because it's Nagei Elohim Lamaitz, it's Nagei every single person, every single day. Okay, that's a partial answer, but there's a much better answer. And that is, in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Yud Beis, it says, when we deal with the Dayan, that we mentioned this last week, that Bizman has, unfortunately, we are not experts in Halacha, and to some degree, we have to use the rule of, we have to use the concept of Pshara. You decide the Halacha the best you possibly can, you use your tools, and you use your knowledge of Shulchan Aruch, but when it comes down to the end, you have to acknowledge there, you can say a swara like this, swara like that, and you have to make pshara. There must be a degree of compromise. Doesn't mean 50-50, it may mean 90-10, it may mean 80-20, 70-30. There's pshara. That is a basic yisod that runs through the entire Choshen Mishpat. So the Musar Haskel is, if you start off Shulchan Aruch with Choshen Mishpat, like we have in the Torah, then you're going to set the wrong tone. You're going to set the tone that everything in Shulchan Aruch is Pshara. Do you have to daven? Well, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to daven three times a day. Pshara! I'll daven 1.5 times a day. Pshara! Today I'll daven Shacharis, tomorrow I'll daven Mincha, the next day I'll daven Maariv. It's a very bad model. We're not proud of the fact that we are not on the level to know the halacha well enough to paskin dina al-din, and we have to come on to pshara. We don't want to set the wrong tone for the rest of Shulchan Aruch, especially if Orachayim. In Orachayim, there is no pshara. Every halacha, Shabbos, the Moadim, all the laws of Orachayim, tefillin, tzitzis, brachos, you name it, everything is 100%, and therefore, that is why the Tor arranged the Shulchan Aruch with the laws of Orachayim first, Choshen Mishpat last, Pshara say for the end, let that not set a bad example. Okay, the Eilach HaMishpat Masher Tassim Lufneim, Rashi quotes a Chazal that why do we, with regard to the Nirtza, if the Eved Ivri lives, the Eved Ivri after sitting by the master for 6 years says, I love my master, I don't want to go free, the master takes him to the door, he bores a hole in his ear, and he serves until Yovel. Rashi brings down Chazal, Darshan is kmin chomer, a pearl. There's a drasha that this, why do we bore the ear of the servant on the door? To say that this servant who heard at Matan Torah, Hashem say to Klal Yisrael, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. Let me read you the words. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, oizen zos, this ear, shesham al har Sinai, lo tignoif, do not steal. The halach v'gonav, terotze shall be bored. V'moicher atzmai, oizen, if a person sells himself, oizen shashama, this ear which heard at Matan Torah al har Sinai ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. The halach v'kona odon li atzmo, tirotze. Rabbi Shimon ha'yidarish mikrozeh kemin chomer. He darish in this posit like a pearl. Ma nishtanu delas u'mezuzah. Why are we required to take the slave to the door? Mikol Kelim Shabbayis, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Delas, Umezuzah, Shahoyu, Be'avodim, Be'mitzrayim, Kishe Pasachti, Aedim, Be'mitzrayim, with witnesses in Egypt, Kishe Pasachti, Alamashkov, Yalshtay, Mezuzos, Yamarti, and I said, Kili, Bidei Shalavodim, Avodai Haim, Veloy, Avodim, Lavodim, Vaholach Zev, Kon, Odoli Atzmo, Yirot Seb, Bifnehem. So we have over here the ear, and we have the door. There is a hole that is bored in the ear, and we use the door, the post, as a utensil, a place to accomplish this task, because they have significance. The ear heard at Har Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, and the doorpost were witnesses when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the firstborns of the Yisraelim and spared them and said, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. I'm sorry, the ear heard the Torah, where the Torah said, Lo tignoiv, and the ear heard in the Torah when the Torah said, Lo tignoiv. And therefore, it's appropriate that the ear and the door participate in having them being punished by having a hole being bored through them. Okay, that is what it says in Rashi. I want to suggest a little bit of a drush. Why is the ear and the doorpost put together? Why is it done together? So let's explain. When Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe, "I want you to go to Klal Yisrael and tell them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt." Moshe said, they're not going to listen. And what suchus do they have? What merit do they have to leave Egypt? Hashem said to him, Ta'avdun es Elokim alohor hazeh. When I take you out of Egypt, you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. The purpose, in other words, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why I'm taking you out of Egypt is for the purpose of coming to Matan Torah. I'm not just taking you out of Mitzrayim to be free from slavery. There is a goal. The goal is to reach Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, I'm going to give you the Torah, and you'll become my servants. No longer will you be servants to Paro, you'll be my servants. So there is a purpose and there is a goal, there is a mission. Now let's look at this slave. This slave, this Eved, this slave, he is working for 6 years. Why is he working for 6 years? He's working for 6 years because he has to pay off his debt. When the 6 years come to an end, he's free to go. What does he choose to do? He chooses to remain a slave. He chooses to remain under the authority of his master and not become free. The problem with this slave is he doesn't have any goals. He doesn't have any purpose. In Mitzrayim, there was a goal. The goal was, you're going to leave Mitzrayim in order to come to Matan Torah, to hear, to receive the Torah. How many days were there between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah? 49 days. How many years are there going to be when a person is sold as a Nirtza, once his ears, until Yovel? Yovel is for 50 years. The reason why this slave is being punished to work for 50 years is because he totally missed the point. When the Rashi tells us this ear was present by Matan in Mitzrayim, and at the doorpost. The doorpost heard. The doorpost represents, let's break it up a little simpler. The doorpost represents Mitzrayim. The ear represents Matan Torah. The doorpost was present when Hashem was Pesach ala Pesach. The ear, Rashi tells us, represents Matan Torah. On Matan Torah, the ear heard Hashem, lo tignoif, don't steal, even though there it means do not kidnap. And here we're referring to stealing moment. That's a side question, but the general idea is do not steal. That's how Rashi explains. What are we doing to this slave? We're taking the ear and we're pressing the ear against the door. We're connecting the two and we're banging them together with an awl. We are connecting the two. When you take an awl and you bang the awl into the ear, what you have done was you will mechaber the ear to the doorpost. What is the message we're giving to the slave? The message we're giving to the slave is, when you were in Egypt, and you were in that door, in your home in Egypt, and Hashem took you out of Egypt, it was for the purpose that you should come to Matan Torah, and you should be mekayem Hashem's mitzvos. you have failed to learn that mission. You have failed to understand that the purpose of freedom is to serve Hashem. You prefer to remain in a state of avdus where you're not free to serve Hashem to the degree that you would otherwise be able to do so had you been a free man. Therefore, the punishment for you is to remind you that there's a purpose. Just like Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm taking you out of Egypt in order that you're going to come to Har Sinai. We remind the Eved exactly of that pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe by taking his ear and connecting it to the door. The ear is symbolic of Har Sinai, the door is symbolic of Mitzrayim. The two are supposed to be joined together to be mechubar. There is a purpose. You failed. The failure of the Eved Ivri, when he says, is where he forgot, he failed to realize that everything in life has to be directed towards a greater purpose. Okay, let's go to another idea. The Eila, we mentioned before, the Eila HaMishpatim, the first law of the Eila HaMishpatim is the law of the Eved Ivri. What is the deeper the meaning of Ivri? An Eved that is an Ivri. Why do we refer to him as an Ivri, not refer to him as an Eved Yisraeli or an Eved Yehudi? Why is he called an Ivri? So the simple answer given by most of the Mepharshim is Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri because he lived the Ever HaNar, like it says in Sefer Yeshua, passage that we say in the Haggadah. Avraham lived on the other side of the Nar. Everyone, the whole world was on one side, Avraham was on the other side, he was the Ever HaNar, and he put up a fight, and he prevailed. So all descendants of Avraham Avinu are called Ivri from Avraham Avinu. That is one interpretation. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and other Mepharshim say in different Mahalach, they suggest that it comes from Aver, as in Shem the Aver. Aver was the son of who was he the son of? Shem of Noach. Shem of Noach's son was Shem Cham and Yafes, and then from a son of Shem. So Aver was the son of Shem. Now we all familiar with there are two Batei Midrashim. There was the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Aver. When Rivka had twins, what did she do? She went to the Beis Medrash Shel Shem. Now there are different girsos in Rashi. You have to be very careful what it says in Rashi. We know that before Avraham, during the time of the Avos, whenever there was a religious issue, they went either to Shem or Aver. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hotzi Lechem V'an. Who is Malki Tzedek? According to one opinion, it was Shem. It was Shem. Malki Tzedek was the Kohen Elyon. But there was also another Beis Medrash called Aver. So seemingly they were the same. There was the father and son, who was a nice team father. So we once discussed this father and son team. However, I don't have the names here, but there are Mepharshim that explain there was a different approach between the Mahalach of Shem and Aver. And this can be traced to the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers, and it's also common throughout history. There are two mahalchim in serving Hashem. There is a mahalich where you have to isolate yourself from society. We are under the influence of the Goyim. In order to serve Hashem, we have to completely separate ourselves from any external influence. That's one approach. And then there is an approach where we embrace society and we elevate society. I didn't say, I'm not giving any terms. You can say Torah Madig, you can say Torah Mdercheretz, you can say Thai, or that's Torah Mdercheretz. We're not going there. We're just focusing on, let's say, Yosef. According to many, this was the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers. The brothers did not like Yosef because he was an innovator. His approach, Avodas Hashem, was to embrace the secular world. He was the Mishnah Lamelech, and to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim being a participant in the secular world. The brothers did not go for that Mahalach. They felt that you have to completely isolate yourself, you have to live a ghetto life, remove yourself from any external influence because they're going to ruin you, they're going to damage you, you must be 100% pure. Two different Mahalachim in Avodas Hashem. So many suggest that was the difference between the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Aver. Shem was what we would say completely isolated. They lived, the yeshiva was in an island, and there was no external influence whatsoever. In the Beis Medrash of Aver, they trained you how to live a life together with the Goyim, but in the process to elevate and sanctify sanctify your mundane activities while you participate in society. If you look carefully in Rashi, Rashi talks about Yaakov Avinu after when Rivka sent him off to get married, after Yaakov was threatened by his brother Esav, he would be killed. Rivka said, you have to go and run away until things calm down. So before Yaakov went to Lavan to get married, he went to learn in Beis Medrash. Where did he go? Now there are some Rashis that say he went to learn in the Beis Medrash. We make the calculation of Yaakov, he came back for 33 years. He came back, he was there, he went to the Beis Medrash, shame the Aver. But many of the better printings of Rashi does not have shame, or has shame in parentheses, which means that when Yaakov Avinu went to Lavan, he went specifically to the Beis Medrash of Aver. Why? Because Yaakov was now going to work. Yaakov worked for 14 years. 14 years he was going, he was leaving Yitzchak. Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima, was a Mokoyim of Torah Lishma, just nothing but Torah. He's now going to Lavan to work for his two wives, and another 6 years to work to make his own parnasa. He needed to be trained. He needed to be retrained. He was not accustomed to this mahalach of life. And therefore he went to study Torah for 14 years. Where did he go? So look in Rashi. You have to look in the Rashis where it discussed this issue. Most of the chumashim that are very medactic, right, he went to learn in the Beis Medrash of Aver. Because you're going to work, you have to know how to sanctify your life when you are participating in the secular world. And who is the biggest problem? Lavan. If you can survive when you're living among Lavan, certainly you have succeeded. You get a diploma, you get a PhD from the Beis Medrash of Aver.
That fits with the Abraham being called the Ivrim.
So some want to suggest every time we refer to Klai Yisrael as Ivrim, we refer to by many names. We refer to as Yehudim, as Ivrim, Yisraelim. When Klal Yisrael is referred to as Ivrim, it means we have been trained in the tradition, in the yeshiva, in the Torah of Aver. Every person in different points of his life, some points of his life he is following the Mahalach of Shame, and sometimes it's following the Mahalach of Aver. There are different chuvas. When Rivka had a question, she felt the best solution to understand why the two children are by Yisraetsu, she went to Lidrash as Hashem, she went to Shame. For her need, Shame was appropriate. When Malki Tzedek came to greet, who came out? Shame came out. He was the Kohen Elyon. But there is a time in life where a person has to be trained in the Beis Medrash of Aver. Whenever Klal Yisrael are referred to as Ivrim, besides the fact that it means that we are a minority, we're on one side of the river and the whole world is against us, that's one mahalach. There's another mahalach. It means that we are Talmidim of Aver. We all have a degree from the Beis Medrash of Aver. We know how to sanctify our lives in the secular world, in any environment that we find ourselves in. Therefore, Eved Ivri, why is Eved Ivri called an Eved Ivri more, not called an Eved Yisraeli, an Eved Yehudi? Because that's what an Eved is all about. The whole essence of an Eved is to work. The whole essence of it, what are you doing when you're an Eved? You're working. You're working for 6 years. You're not your own man. I have a job. My job is not 9 to 5. It's 24 hours, 24/7. You're an Eved Ivri. You have a slave. So when you want to refer to the quintessential slave, you call him, as a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri. You know, you can go to the market. You can buy different slaves. They present, what are your credentials? Let me see your resume. So one slave says, I have a PhD from the Beis Medrash of Shame. BMG. I don't want you. You're not going to be a good worker. But if you have a PhD from the Beis Medrash of Aver, oh, you're mine. Because I know you'll be a good slave. Because that's what they specialize in the Beis Medrash of Aver. They train you how to sanctify Hashem in mundane activities. Nisu Shelach, Chazal tell us, he built worlds of Ruchnius when he sewed shoes. He was a shoemaker. Right, is that Mr. Shalach? It was a Chanoch or Mr. Shalach, one of the two. One of the earlier people in Chum and Pshev Bereshis. He sewed shoes. He stitched shoes. As he stitched shoes, he was mechavein different in Yoni holy matters, and he created worlds of Ruchnius through his labor. So therefore, that is why we call an Eved, a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri. It means he's been trained in sanctifying Hashem through activity, through labor, not through sitting in a Beis Medrash and being Mechadesh Chedushim.
Goats.
Now that is one idea.
What?
Ava was a grandson of Shem. No, he doesn't say this whole thing. He just points out that he says the idea that that Avraham is called Avraham. We called Ivrim because we are Talmidim of Aver. Doesn't only mean that we are be'Aver Hanor. We're also Talmidim of Aver. What is the significance of Aver? So now I'm not sure he says this. The significance of Aver. Other Mepharshim say this is the difference between the Beis Medrash of Shem, the Beis Medrash of Aver. Shem is pure Torah, where you sit in Beis Medrash, you're oisik only in Torah, nothing but Torah. Aver is where you're oisik in labor, mundane activities, and you sanctify Hashem through your activities, through making a livelihood, through being participating in society. And that, according to many, is the difference between the Mahalach of Avodas Hashem, between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef was the Mishnah Lamelech. Yosef was a product of Aver, whereas the brothers did not appreciate this. They were the product of shame, and there was friction. Which is a better avodah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The truth is, you can't generalize. Every person is different. Every person has a different DNA, a different makeup, and what works for one person does not work for another. But there's friction between two different categories. Yeah.
Rashi in Parshas says that Yaakov gave over what he wanted. There it does say both, shame and
no, so you have to look in the Chumashim. You have to be very careful. Yaakov gave over both. But you have to look at all the Rashi, wherever they're mentioned. Do a computer. I once said this years ago, research of shame, the Aver. There are different places where sometimes it only says shame, sometimes it says Aver, sometimes it says both. And then you take out a Chumash and you look at the good Chumashim. They don't, where you think it says both, sometimes they have in parentheses shame, and some editions don't even have shame at all. So the point, this is a point which is said. What I'm trying to add to the equation is we have here the very first mitzvah after Matan Torah called an Eved Ivri. Why is he called an Eved Ivri? So it's Pashit. You know why he's called an Eved Ivri? Because since we're dealing with Avdus, the essence of a slave is a person that is a participant in society. You are a worker. You're not sitting in Kolel. You're doing work for a master. You have to be trained in the traditions in the yeshiva of Aver. If you have been trained in the traditions of Shem, you're not going to succeed. You don't know what to do. It's a different type of avodas Hashem. That's why it's called the Eved Ivri. Now, just going a little bit further with this idea, the first word of this letter of this week's parashah is Ve'ela Hamishpatim. And Rashi tells us Ve'ela is Moisif Al Harishonim. Wherever it says Ela, it cuts off. Whatever was, was. What will be, will be. Ela cuts off. Ve'ela is Moisif Al Harishonim. A lot of the Farshim, they struggle. Why? From all of the mitzvahs of Tayag mitzvahs, the Torah select the first mitzvah to be the parashah of Eved Ivri. First thing, Eved Ivri, it's not a very pleasant parashah of Eved Ivri. A person is a ganof, and he doesn't have what to pay, he doesn't have parnasa, he did an avera, and doesn't have what to pay, and now he has to go and sell himself as a slave, and then he comes to the Nisayin or Hafti, he has to live his Ishti, and while he's in Eved Ivri, he's married to a shivcha, and he has non-Jewish children. It's not a very pleasant parsha, and this is going to be the first mitzvah that we're going to be taught after Matan Torah. What's it doing over here? So the different mahalchim, we have to channel our avodah. The simple answer is that we have to channel our need to serve, not for a human being, but it's a Musar Haskel to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But one point which does come out to our advantage is that from all of the Tayag mitzvos, if I'm not mistaken, the only one that we associate the concept of Aver with is Eved Ivri, because the essence of an Eved is to be a product of the Beis Medrash of Aver. And what's the first letter? Vav is Ve'elu Mosif, just like everything that the Aseres Hadiris were given at Sinai. What do Chazal say? Ve'elu is Mosif. So too, don't make any mistake, every mitzvah that I'm going to present to you from this parashah and onward was also given to Klal Yisrael at Sinai. It's just that the details may not have been given, or it may have been given too quickly, and we need to review with you all of the nitty-gritty of every single mitzvah. But there's a little bit of a Musar Haskel. We have a tendency to think that we want to be Mosif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Very good. And now it's time for us to contribute, to be mechadesh, to add new things to the Torah, innovations. The very first mitzvah is a mitzvah which takes us back to the Beis Medrash of Aver. Before there was a Matan Torah, there was a Beis Medrash in the world. The Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Aver. Malki Tzedek, Melech Kohen, there was spirituality in the past. Matan Torah was not the beginning of spirituality. Spirituality existed from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Things changed. Things were given again, were given different. And there were things that were part of the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver that were incorporated into the Torah. I mean, not incorporated, the other way around. It was known to them that this will become part of the Torah, and they had traditions. They knew things, and it was taught, and it was re-given to Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. The Musar Haskel is that when you want to be Mechadish, the Iker Chidushim is to go back to the old things. Okay, Chodosh Osir Min HaTorah. There's an expression. You're not allowed to. Of course, I don't mean this. You know what I mean. I don't mean this in an extreme. You know, it's always. It's not fun to buy a sefer where they just regurgitate the old Torah. You have to be mechadish, but all of the chidushim have to be built upon the foundation and the yesodos of tradition. We have Matan Torah, Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satara, Aseres Hadibros. Okay, done. Now, the Eile HaMishpatim, let's go forward. Let me give you some new mitzvahs, some new things to think about. The Eile, Eivav is Moisif Al Harishonis. We're coming to it. Just like the Aseres Hadibros was giving me Sinai, so too Mikanul Haba Yishno was also giving me Sinai. And what's the first thing that I'm giving you? I'm giving you the mitzvah of Eved Ivri, which carries with it, the essence of Eved Ivri carries with it the Mesoira of the Beis Medrash of Eiver. The Beis Medrash of Eiver was something which predated Matan Torah and whose concepts were part of Torah. That is what you should be Moisef. When you come to add new things, new chidushim in Torah, only add new chidushim that are built upon things that are older than you, that are yashan, that are back from the time, that are rooted in the ultimate tradition of the Avos, which were from the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Yeva. Okay, let's go to another idea, a short idea. We have in this week's parasha, it's a musav art, a beautiful musav art of Acharei Rabim Lahatos. There's a concept in the parasha that you have to follow the majority. And this is the basic principle of Yoredeya. Whenever there's a taruvis, all the complicated laws of lach b'lach, lach b'yavish, min b'mina, min b'sheina mina, but there is a principle of you go boss of the majority, acharam lahatos. Question then is, that Hashem says to us, that Hashem loves us not because we're many, ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. Hashem loves us because Hashem promised we have zichus avos, the mesorif, the avos, the kabbal, the Torah. Don't think Hashem loves you because you are the majority. In fact, you are the minority. Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. If we are the minority, and it says in the Torah, achrei rabim lahatos, so why are we obligated to observe the Torah? Kaviyachol, of course, it's such a thing. But what's the? How do you put the answer in words? Ki atem, we are the ma'at. If we're the ma'at, we're batel. The Torah itself says acharei rabim lahatos. Most of the world are doing things that we don't do, so let's do what they do because they are the majority. So the answer is a very powerful musavart. That the answer is the only time you have in your day a rule of achrei rabim lahatos is only when you have a suffix. You can't identify what is the ma'at. You can't identify the ma'at. You don't know. You have a taruvis. I have here a mixture. I have three pieces of meat. One piece of meat is kosher. Two is non-kosher. And two pieces are kosher. I can't identify which is the kosher, which is the not kosher. I can't identify the non-kosher? No, we'll follow the majority. Whatever the majority is, we'll go with it. But when you can identify the minority, when the minority is clear, then you don't follow the majority. When Klal Yisrael are in a matzah where they have emuna, they have faith, they have no questions in life, that everything is clear, they have a munah shleim and a kadosh baruch hu, then you don't go basa roif. Acharei rabim lahatos only when you have sveikus. You have sveikus, then you follow the majority. But when you have no sveikus in life, when your life is clear, when you have a munah pshut in a kadosh baruch hu, then there's no segus. Then you don't follow the majority. Then you follow the minority. You know what's right. And that is the rule. It's a very powerful musaf. It sounds like a buffer. I saw Salanter. Let's say such says, I think some, he could be that he says this part. Okay, let's go to another idea. This week, let's just go off the topic just a little bit. This week is Shabbos Mevarchim. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Adar. Correct? When is Rosh Chodesh? Adar Aleph.
Friday Shabbos.
So here's a general question. Chodesh Adar, even though this year we have a double Adar, so there are 13 months, but the 13th month is really just an extension to some, to a very large degree of the 12th month. It's like a 60 month week. A 60 day month. It is the finale of the year. So don't hold me down that we have a 13th month. It's really Adar is one and the same. In fact, many of the halachas of Adar Sheni apply to Adar Rishon and vice versa. Now, here's a general question. Why is it every month, except for Chodesh Tishrei, do we have this concept of Mevorchim B'Chodesh? Why do we bother to bless the new month that is coming in the following week? Now, by the way, I'm telling you now, I don't have clarity in, so it's just something to think about. It's an idea, it's an idea, and you'll fill in the missing details. But I want to throw out the idea because I believe that there's something very deep here. Why do we have Shabbos Mevarchim? What is this all about? Why do we need to prepare ourselves that the following week it's going to be Rosh Chodesh? So you'll answer me on a very simple level, because not everyone, people have to know. People have to know when to say Yalav Yavo. They have to know with regard to the calendar dates, whether it's for a wedding or whether it's for... It's Shabbos, the time when everyone comes to the Beis HaKnesses, especially in ancient times. People did not come around to the Beis HaKnesses often. They didn't have technology. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't know the days. So you have to make an announcement. So it's a very good time to make the announcement. Okay, that's definitely true.
Reenactment of
Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, that's another approach. Fine, that's another approach. But that does not fully answer why we have to do it on Shabbos in public. There are different approaches. I want to bring out another idea. You have a list. You have a collection of items. Which item in your collection that are numbered, that are in order, is the most chashuv? Let's say you have 7 items and they're in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. Which is the most chashuv, the most significant aliyah? Now, aliyah is not a good example. Okay, that's another discussion. There's an excellent post on one of the blogs about all the aliyahs, which was more, but all different opinions. Whatever it is, which one is more chashuv? The answer is, it depends. It depends from whose perspective you're looking. If you're looking from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last is always the most chashuv. Acharon, acharon chaviv. The last. I know, you're getting me, excellent. You're getting me, I always say second to last. Let's not put that aside, the last. From Hashem's perspective, the last is the most chashuv. How do I know this? I know this from Shabbos. Hashem created the world in 7 days. You can't deny this is true. Hashem created the world in 7 days. And Hashem selected the 7th day to rest. And Hashem sanctified the 7th day. Hashem definitely has favoritism towards the 7th day. It's the last of the 7 days of creation. So you see that from Hashem's perspective, the last is the most chashuv. Yet in this week's parasha, we learn that the most chashuv from man's perspective is the first. Reishis bikurei admoscha tavi l'Hashem elokecha. There's a mitzvah called bikurim. Bikurim begins Shavuos, you bring the first fruits. And now you bring the first fruits, when the fruit begins to develop, begins to blossom, you tie a blade of grass on your first fig. This is Bikurim. This is such a thing that when you want to present a Kadosh Baruch Hu a gift, you present him with the first. That shows that the first. We don't wait until the last food ripens to give him the last, we give him the first. So what's the pshat? So I don't have a full understanding of the answer, but it must be based upon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not lacking in anything. When you have everything in front of you, there's something to it when you build up to a climax. You build up,
Hashem said Hashem made Adam last because man, he comes into a set table. Everything is prepared. And then Hashem, Adam walked into a world that was prepared. When you walk into a meal, when the table is set, the last, everything is being prepared for the last. When you have the ability, it's within your power to prepare. You have all the pieces. You can put everything, do everything the way you want. Then you build up towards a climax, towards a goal. Adam, a human being, is limited. Human beings are weak. The end of man is the death. Man, as he gets older, he gets weaker, becomes more frail. Man doesn't have much time. Therefore, man has to right away, due to man's weakness, man's frailty, man must immediately devote what he has, the first thing that he has as special, because he does not know if he'll ever get to the very end. So it's a different, due to the weakness of man, man has to designate the beginning as the best, as special. Now, let's look at time. We always mention that there's nothing more gashmi, more physical than time. In the Olam HaEmes, Hoya Hove V'Yiyah. There's no difference between the past, the present, and the future. String theory, right? We discussed this. String theory, there's no difference between it's all, everything is in this world. Olam Hazeh, Hashem created a world of that's gashmius, the Bereishis Bor Elokim. We discussed this 2 days ago. Hashem created time in the beginning. In the beginning, briefly, the concept, the first thing that Hashem created in this world was time, the concept of time. By Hashem, who is Kol Yachol, when we're dealing with time, what's the most significant part, the moment of time? The end. Achris Hayamim is the most significant by Hashem. Yom Hashvi. But Hashem gave man the ability to manipulate time. Hashem gave man the power to sanctify the moon. Hashem gave man the ability to decide to play around, to be ma'abed the shana, to add another month to the year, to add a day to a month, and so on and so forth. When man makes use of his power to manipulate time, and he selects a time that is chashuv, which moment in time is the most significant? Rosh Chodesh. What is a holiday? Which day of the month do we say Hallel? The first day. The first day of the month. Hashem gave us the power over the month. Hashem did not give us the power over the week. Shabbos is Kivi V'Kaime. The week is etched in stone. Every 7 days the cycle repeats itself. And from that set unit of time of the week, Hashem has selected the seventh day to be the most choshev. The month, Hashem says to us, it's yours. You want to add a month? Add a month. You don't want to add? Don't add. You want to extend it by a day? Extend it. You don't want to extend it? Don't extend it. The month is yours. When we celebrate the month, which day do we pick from the month to celebrate, to focus on? It's the first day. Hallo Davar? Look at that. Same idea. Reishis b'kuriyat mascha tavi l'Hashem elokecha. When man is in the driver's seat, man takes hold of the first. He elevates the first. When Hashem is in the driver's seat, Hashem takes hold of the last, of the gemar, of Yom HaShvi'i, of the end. Now we can understand why it's so important for us to announce the new month on Shabbos. What are we doing when we announce? The new month coming, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Why do we have to go get together on the Shabbos before? The Shabbos before, this coming Friday is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Because we want to synthesize the two. We want to take what is Choshev to Hashem. Hashem is Machshev Zman. When Hashem, from his perspective, Hashem is Kol Yachol, by him, the end is the Choshev. We want to take what's Choshev by Hashem and bring that into what's Choshev by us. We want to have that synthesis. We want that synthesis. So if we just celebrate Rosh Chodesh, very good, we're selfish. Hashem gave us Zman, the first day of the Chodesh is Choshev. But by announcing that the new month will begin on Shabbos, that the new month is going to be on Friday, and we're going to make that announcement on Shabbos, we're taking what's choshev by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yom HaShabbos, and we're bringing that in to some degree, at least conceptually, into the into the Chodesh, into the month, which is what is Chashev, into the first day of the month, which is Chashev. Now, that is a general idea of why it is such a big thing to be mevorech the Chodesh. It's a beautiful thing. Some women, the mamash, they won't miss it for their life. They won't miss Shabbos Mevorechim. If they don't come to Shul Shabbos Mevorechim, it's like the world came to it, and it's even worse than missing Yizkor. Not to come to Shul Shabbos Mevorechim. What's it all about? Big deal. You missed it. You're taking what's choshev by Hashem, and you're synthesizing it with what's choshev by man. The ultimate dover gashmi is man, Hashem's Zman is Shabbos, our Zman is Rosh Chodesh, we bring the two together.
So, does that mean that like next Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh?
Yes.
Does that make elevated to even a greater degree?
Not necessarily. Yes and no. We always give the example that the Musaf, Ato Yatzarta, when you ever have Shabbos and Shchosh coincide, the Musaf is on the Madrega of the Sholosh Ugala.
Haftarah
is different. Yeah, but put that aside. We don't need to work with that now. We need to work with this idea that we, in advance, before the Chodesh comes, before the Chodesh will arrive, we want to sanctify it, so to speak. We want to bless it, sanctify it, usher it in through the Kedusha of Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is Choshev by Hashem. The end is Chashev. The beginning is Chashev by us. We want to bring those two together. Whatever that means. Why do we want to be together? That has to be discussed, understood, why that is important. Now, why am I bringing this out now? It's a gold mine here today.
Yes,
sir.
Oh, wow.
Fish.
Fish
or chicken.
Okay, so now the question is why is this?
What time is serving?
Now the question is, why is this significant? Why is this significant? Am I mentioning this for Rosh Chodesh Adar? Because there are really 2 months on the spectrum. Let's talk about Chodesh Nisan. What is Chodesh Nisan? It's the first. It's the first of the first. Again, Hashem gave man power of time. And when we have power over something and we celebrate, we want to focus on the beginning. So Hashem gave us 12 units to play with. 12 toys. 12 sets of Lego. 12 toys to play with. 12 months. So whenever man wants to elevate and celebrate, what do we celebrate? The beginning. So what's the beginning? Well, the first day, Rosh Chodesh. Well, what is the beginning of the beginning? Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is the first of the first. This Shabbos, we mevore Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar is the last. What is the last? But by the last, it's not really, it's that Shabbos. So when you mevore Chodesh Adar on Shabbos, you've reached the peak. You've reached the peak of what you try to accomplish every time you mevarich a chodesh. Every time you mevarich a chodesh, you're taking Shabbos, the end of Hashem's, what is choshev by Hashem, the last, and you're merging it, you're synthesizing what's choshev to us in Zman, the beginning. When you come to Chodesh Adar, we're now taking the last. Look what we're doing. We're not just taking the beginning of time. We're taking the last. Taking the last, we're taking what's choshev to Hashem. And we're sanctifying that on a day that's choshev to Hashem. Now, it's still the first of the month. We can't totally get without it. We're not sanctifying the last day of Chodesh Adar. We're sanctifying the first day of Chodesh Adar. But at least it's very significant. Mevarachim Chodesh Adar, it's a double end. It's not just Shabbos, it's also the last month. So it's a significant month because it's the most that we can possibly do to bring Hashem into our world. And that's why Chodesh Adar is associated with what? Recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in Teva. The difference between Chodesh Nisan and Chodesh Adar, Chodesh Nisan is Nisim Lemala Miderech HaTeva, Chodesh Adar is Nisim within Teva. What is Teva? Shabbos! Shabbos is Teva! Shabbos is something which is Hashem's will. Hashem created a natural world. What is Chodesh Adar? Chodesh Adar is the and the Chodashim. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. You can follow your own rules, which is the concept of the idea of Nisan brings with it Nisan L'malam Derech HaTeva. But when we come now to Adar, it is the month that is the most Shabbos. Okay, I'm struggling for words. I told you, I don't have a full, but there's something very deep here. Chodesh Adar is, if you want to put on the 12 months of the year, and say which one of these months of the year is the closest related to Shabbos, as far as months go, you have a 12-day week. Which day of the 12-day week will be the one that will be mostly associated with Shabbos? It will be the last. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last is what's Choshev in time.
And now this year that you have...
Well, as I told you, it's 13. It's an extension. It's an extension. Adar is the only 12 months, and we have an Adar, so it's a double Adar. It's an extension. We're coming to this point of the year. We're coming now to the Shabbos of the Chodoshim. No, we have to bench. That's a technical point. But the idea. So this is the idea. I think there's something very deep here. There are some of what I'm telling you. This part of what I'm telling you comes from Rabbi Wolfson. He points out this idea of the beginning and end. But I think it's something very significant how you can tie this idea of Rabbi Wolfson into what essence are we doing when we are mevorech the new chodesh, and that creates a very significant appreciation of what it means to be mevorech chodesh Adar. It's the last of the months, and Shabbos is the last of the days, and we combine these two together, we're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in joining Him into our world, and that's why Chodesh Adar is the month where we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions in the Olam of Teva. Okay, what?
It's a great word.
Thank you very much. I feel good now. Okay, one more vart, yeah?
What did the leap is, though? I like it. The concept of...
Back, all the way back. The time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be. HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. There we have a Lasha of a Chodesh Aviv. The leap year goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It has to be. No, there's no.
For 10 years they didn't have leashes because there was no Vedas Aretz that they had to change the Zmanim because of the
40s in the Midbar. But we have to assume they still took into consideration. Okay, I want to share with you one more of arts. No, not just part of it. Just the part, the beginning of it, the very beginning. The very beginning. Okay, let's go to one more vart. This vart to me is very chaviv. I favor this vart very much. I'm about to tell you. We have here in this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, we have the Shalosh Regolim. Believe it or not, this part, this laning, Parashas Mishpatim, is what you lane on Chol Hamoed. In Kesef Tal Ve'esani is the laning because in this aliyah, it mentions the Shalosh Regalim, Eschag Hamatzos Tishma Shivas Yomim Techal Matzos V'Chag Hakotzir, and then it says V'Chag Hakotzir that's V'Chag Ha'asif B'Tzeis Hashana B'Othmicha Es Masecha Min Hasodeh, and then it says Nochamal. There's a very peculiar pasuk Yitzayin, it's in Perek of Gimel. Shalosh pe'amim bashana yirechol zuchurcha el pnei ha'adoin Hashem. Question is, why do we need pasuk yitzayin when we already have pasuk yidalit? Pasuk yidalit begins off the section Shalosh regalim tochog li bashana. Three times a year you shall celebrate the festivals. What do you do when you celebrate the festivals? Well, you go, you bring karbanos. So why does the pasuk again have to say, and then it says matzos, and then we celebrate the time of Shavuos and the time of Sukkot, and then nachamol shalosh pe'amim bashana yerecho kol zukurcha el pnecha odin Hashem. If you wouldn't even know, you would say it's six times. 3 + 3 is six times. Who knows? Maybe that's what the pasuk means. You have to celebrate six times a year. Obviously, when it says in pasuk yitzayin shalosh pe'amim, it's referring back to the shalosh regalim. So the truth is, Rashi asked this question. Okay, none other than Rashi. Let me read you what Rashi says. The pasuk yitzayin. Shalosh pamim lefi shirinyan medaber b'shvius. This pasuk yitzayin is discussing the seventh year of the shmita cycle. Chutzrach loymar shalo yastir yistorsu. or Yisaku, different girsos in the Rashi, Yisaku, do not uproot the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Why would I think you would do that? So the answer is because the three different festivals are correspond to times of the year of harvest. Agriculture. Chag HaMatzos Tishma, what does it say? Because it's Chodesh Aviv. It makes it very clear it's the time of Chodesh, it's the springtime. That's the time when the produce begins to blossom. But if it's Shemitah, there is no blossoming. There is no Aviv. There is no blossoming of the peros. Then it says Shavuos is described as the Chag HaKotzir, the harvest. But if it's Shemitah, there is nothing to harvest. And then Sukkot, the Chag HaAsif, the ingathering. But if you didn't plant and nothing blossomed and nothing was harvested, there's nothing to gather in. So the Pasuk describes everything here is part of the cycle of agriculture, and you would think that's only true during the 6 years when you have produce. But in the Shemitah year, when there's no agriculture, maybe you're not mechuyev to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the korbanos. No, even in the year of Shemitah, where it's not going to be called the Shalosh Ugalim, don't forget Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. It's an amazing, but according to Rashi, we're discussing two different sets of years. The first 6 years, and then the last year.
Now, you even didn't start the Shemitah cycle until 14 years.
So I guess they applied the principle of Shalosh Pan Bashana. They applied the principle.
Right, so that means that not only wasn't there Shemitah, what I said earlier, there may not have been a
cycle of leap years, and then the years. Okay, that's a very big chiddush to say such a thing that they celebrated on Pesach in the winter. It's a very big chiddush to say such a thing. It's hard to say such a thing. I don't know, but this is what it's. This is the pshutoi shel mikra. In other words, what is regel? Regel. What does regel really mean? Shalosh rigolim. What is regel? Regel is strictly translated as a siba. Of course, leregel hamalacha, according to the makeup of the work. Regel really here means, in the context of this psuk, according to the way Rashi learns, there are three triggers. There are three causes, there are three times of the year that trigger you to come to the Beis HaMikdash. When things blossom, when you harvest the produce, and when you gather in the produce. Three events, three triggers, three times that
you also didn't make Pesach in the Mikdash.
They didn't have chametz. Well, they bought things. That was the daf yesterday, where they bought things from the merchants. They might have chametz. Let's put that aside. But according to this interpretation, the word regel means three natural events that happen during the year that cause you to bring korbanos and come to the Beis HaMikdash. Pa'amim just means a time, a pa'am.
They could have bought korbanos. They didn't bring the Pesach.
They didn't bring. Chazal said they didn't bring. For 39 years, they didn't bring the Korban Pesach. 38 years, they didn't bring the Korban Pesach. What does that mean exactly? Was that good or bad? Chazal critical. They should have brought. So it seems they didn't have the wind. They could have brought Bismillah, but it seems otherwise they would have. Oh, but you're telling me they didn't have the Aviv? Okay, let's go to work. And they had the real thing.
Right, they had it.
The real thing, and then I covered. Okay, and Chanami, the 40s and the were different. Okay, so now the point, now this is the Pshut Shomekra. Now I want to say a drush. What does it mean, a pam? A pam doesn't just mean a time. A pam means a special time. How do I know that? Leah, when Yehuda was born, what did Leah say? Hapam Oda Es Hashem. What does Rashi teach Hapam? This time I got more than I deserved. It was not meant to be. It was not meant to be. I know there are going to be four emos. Each one should only. There are going to be four women that have all the children. Each one should only have three children. I have a fourth child. I have four children. I'm only supposed to have three. I've taken more than I deserve. It should never have happened. It's unique. It's once in a lifetime, if even that. Pam. Regel, according to the way we learn Rashi, regel, it's a natural occurrence. Shalosh regalim tochog li bashana. Every year, kach hidarko shel oilam. You plant, it rains, things blossom, you harvest the crop, you gather the crop. Even if you're on strike, someone else will do it. It's going to happen. There are three times in a year that happen every single. They're natural times that happens automatically. What's the Musar Haskel? What's the homiletic interpretation? What's the connection? Hashem is telling you, I want you every year to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos. When? Shalosh Ugalim. Something natural will happen, something that you can predict will happen. But when you come there to the Beis HaMikdash, don't look at it as just a natural event. Elevate yourself to appreciate that these are shalosh pa'amim. That it's, put yourself in a frame of mind that it's like a once in a lifetime experience. When you come and you are yeroheh, you appear before the Adon Hashem, before your Master HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a Musar Haskel for life. Because in life, you know, pretty much you can predict this can happen, this can happen. You can plot out all of the significant events in your life, and if everything goes according to plan, it'll happen. So when it happens, what's the big deal? These are just regalim. Events that happen in life are just, you know, it's preordained. Routine, it was meant to be. Hashem says, don't look at it like that. You're going to live your life like that, you're not going to have a life of any satisfaction. When every event happens in life, you have to look back. Even though it's Shalosh Regalim, you have to look at a Shalosh Pe'omim. Hapam Ode Es Hashem. Natalti Yoyisar Michalki. I took more than I deserve. It should never have happened that grain blossomed. It should never have happened that I was zoche to harvest. But it's natural. It's going to happen. You get your paycheck. The money comes in. That's the way it goes. Social Security comes in. No. Yoyser mechelgi. It's more than I deserve. Pam. Yeroha kol zuchurcha. That's how you have to live your life to come to appear el pnei ha'odoin Hashem. That's the Musa Haskell. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Shalom.